Ever wondered about the ethical tightrope you'll walk when leaving a law firm? Today, we're diving deep into a landmark case that, well, every future lawyer really needs to know. Meehan versus Shaughnessy.
Yeah, exactly. It's a 1989 Massachusetts case, but believe me, it's still incredibly relevant today. It really gets into the nitty-gritty of partnership law, fiduciary duties, all that crucial stuff when lawyers decide to jump ship and start their own practice.
Right. So for all you law students listening in, this isn't just some dusty old case file. It highlights a really core tension, you know, your right to chase your career goals versus that duty of loyalty you owe your current firm.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to unpack the details, the ethical lines, so hopefully you can navigate similar situations later on without setting off any legal landmines.
Definitely.
And to do that, we've got some great source material, actual excerpts from the court decision, a detailed case brief, and a standard legal brief, too.
So a pretty comprehensive look.
Yeah. Our mission today is basically to pull out the key insights, the stuff you really need to know about the ethics of partner departures, you know, without getting totally lost in the legalese.
Let's do it.
Okay, so let's unpack this. The case centers on these two partners, Meehan and Boyle, at a litigation firm called Parker Coulter.
Right, Parker Coulter, Dahl, Sargent, and Wilson, technically.
Oh, right. And it sounds like they weren't exactly thrilled with the firm's pension plan, among other things, maybe?
That seems to be part of the background, yeah.
Yeah.
And they secretly started planning to leave and set up their own firm, Meehan, Boyle, and Cohen.
Secretly being the operative word here, I guess.
Absolutely. And the timeline is really important. While they were still partners at Parker Coulter, they weren't just thinking about it. They were making active moves, you know, meeting with a major client to talk about moving their business over.
While still partners. Wow.
Yeah. Drafting solicitation letters for clients. And get this, on Parker Coulter letterhead.
Oh, come on. Seriously.
Seriously. They were locking down office space, getting financing based on the clients they expected to bring, and even recruiting other lawyers and staff from Parker Coulter to join their new venture, all while still employed there.
Okay, that sounds pretty involved for something supposedly just in the planning phase. It's like they had more than one foot out the door.
Exactly. It blurred the line significantly. And then when rumors started swirling that they might be leaving, what happened?
Let me guess, they fessed up.
Nope. They denied it, flat out denied it to their partners.
Okay.
But then almost right after that denial, they abruptly resigned.
Abruptly. And took clients with them.
Oh, yeah. A lot of clients.
Yeah.
The case mentions 142 clients followed them.
142. Wow. That's not a trickle. That's a flood.
Definitely not a gradual, mutually agreed transition. Let's put it that way.
No kidding. So Parker Coulter, I imagine, wasn't exactly throwing them a going away party.
Hardly. They sued Meehan and Boyle, alleging breach of fiduciary duty, breach of the partnership agreement, basically unfair competition and disloyalty.
Makes sense. But the fight didn't stop there, did it?
No, it didn't. Meehan and Boyle actually turned around and countersued Parker Coulter.
For what?
They claimed Parker Coulter owed them compensation under the partnership agreement that was being unfairly withheld because they left.
Ah, okay. So you've got this messy two-way legal battle.
Right. And boiling it down, the core issue is, were Meehan and Boyle's actions before they resigned, the secret planning, the client letters, the denials, were those ethically okay? Did they breach their duty?
Okay. So with all that going on, what were the main legal questions the court really had to grapple with here?
Well, there were sort of three big ones. First, did Meehan and Boyle actually breach their fiduciary duties to their Parker Coulter partners with all this secret planning and poaching activity?
Right. The loyalty question.
Exactly. Second, if they did breach those duties, could Parker Coulter recover damages? You know, what harm was done?
And the third?
The third was Meehan and Boyle's point. Were they still entitled to the compensation they felt they were owed under the partnership agreement, even if they were found to have breached their duties?
Okay, those are the big ones. So what did the court decide? Lay it on us.
All right. So the court basically agreed with Parker Coulter on the first two points. They said, yes, absolutely. Meehan and Boyle's actions, the secrecy, the preemptive tactics using firm resources, that was a breach of the fiduciary duties they owed their partners. No question.
Okay. So a breach was found.
Yes. And consequently, Parker Coulter was entitled to seek damages resulting from that breach.
Makes sense.
However, and this is a really important nuance, Elf, the court also upheld Meehan and Boyle's right to get paid according to the terms of the partnership agreement.
Oh, interesting. So it wasn't like you breached your duty, you get nothing.
Exactly. It wasn't a total wipeout for Meehan and Boyle on the money front. The damages Parker Coulter could recover might offset what they owed Meehan and Boyle, but the fundamental right to that compensation under the agreement stood.
Huh. That's a fascinating balance the court struck there. Okay, let's dig into this concept of fiduciary duty a bit more. It's a term we throw around a lot in law school, right?
Mm.
But it's more than just being, like, nice to your partners. What's the core idea behind this utmost good faith and loyalty in a partnership? Why is the law so strict here?
That's a great question. So fundamentally, in a partnership, fiduciary duty means partners owe each other the absolute highest standard of loyalty and care, the utmost good faith, as the courts say.
Okay.
Think of it like the bedrock of trust the whole thing is built on. Partners share risks, they share rewards, they're inherently vulnerable to each other's actions. So the law imposes this really high duty to protect that vulnerability, to ensure everyone's dealing fairly. It's about that mutual reliance, you know?
Right, the shared enterprise idea.
Exactly. And the court in Meehan really hammered home that Meehan and Boyle just didn't meet that standard. The secrecy was huge. They used firm resources, the letterhead, their positions, their access to client info to actively set up their competing firm.
While keeping their partners totally in the dark.
And even lying about it when asked. That lack of transparency, using their inside position for personal gain, that was seen as a clear violation of that fundamental trust.
Okay, but hang on. If you're thinking of starting your own firm, you have to do some planning, right? You can't just quit one day and magically have an office and clients the next.
True.
So where does the court draw the line? What's okay planning versus what crosses into a breach of duty?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? And the court definitely acknowledged that partners do have a right to plan for future competition. You know, looking into office space, exploring financing, maybe even drafting business plans or thinking about firm names. That kind of logistical planning is generally permissible.
Okay.
But the line gets crossed when that planning turns into actively undermining the existing firm while you're still a partner there, still drawing a salary, still benefiting from the partnership.
So it's about when you compete.
It's about how and when. Secretly soliciting the firm's clients for your new venture, using confidential firm information or resources like that letterhead for your own benefit, misleading your partners, and crucially, denying your partners a fair chance to even try to keep those clients. That's where the breach happens. It's the difference between preparing to compete later and competing unfairly now while you're still on the team.
So it really boils down to the fairness of the competition, or maybe the unfairness of the exit strategy.
Precisely. It's about fair play. And to figure out if the client solicitation, specifically, was fair in this context, the court laid out this really useful four-factor test. It's become pretty influential since then.
Okay, a test. I like tests. Walk us through these four factors. What did the court look at to decide if a client moving to Meehan and Boyle did so freely and fairly?
Okay, so factor one. Who originally brought the client to the firm? Was it Meehan or Boyle's connection, or was it like a firm-generated client?
Got it. Client origin.
Factor two. Who was primarily responsible for managing that client's work within the firm? This gets at the strength of the individual lawyer-client bond versus the firm relationship.
Okay, the day-to-day manager.
Factor three. The sophistication and knowledge of the client themselves. Was this a big company with its own legal department making an informed choice?
Or was it maybe an individual person who really relies heavily on their lawyer's advice?
Exactly. Their ability to make an independent decision. And factor four, the reputation and skill of the departing lawyers themselves. Did clients follow just because Meehan and Boyle were known as great lawyers? That's generally, okay, a legitimate reason for a client to choose.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. Let's zoom in on that first factor for a second. Who brought the client in? Why is that so important? Is it just about, like, giving credit for business development?
It's partly that, but it's also more fundamental to the partnership idea. If the firm invested time, resources, maybe marketing efforts, to cultivate that client relationship over years, then having a partner secretly take that client without giving the firm a fair shot feels like undermining the collective investment. The firm's goodwill. It recognizes the firm as an entity that builds value.
Right. It's not just the individual lawyer's asset to walk away with unchallenged.
Exactly. It's a partnership asset to some extent.
Okay. So applying this four-factor test, how did Meehan and Boyle stack up? Did the court think their client solicitation was fair?
Well, according to the court's analysis, not really, especially on the first three factors. They found Meehan and Boyle really leveraged their inside positions as the case managers, factor two, to get an unfair head start. They used confidential info to identify clients, contacted them using that misleading letter, and basically presented the move as a done deal before Parker Coulter even knew they were leaving, let alone had a chance to talk to those clients.
So Parker Coulter couldn't even make a counter pitch.
Pretty much. And regarding factor three, the court felt they unfairly targeted a lot of clients who perhaps weren't sophisticated enough to weigh the options properly without hearing from Parker Coulter, too.
Mm.
So while their skills, factor four, were likely a reason clients wanted to stay with them, the way they secured those commitments, the secrecy, the timing, the misleading communication, tainted the whole process. It wasn't seen as fair competition.
Got it. So the court finds a breach, finds the solicitation was unfair. What were the actual consequences? What remedies did Parker Coulter get?
Okay, so the main remedy was focused on compensating Parker Coulter for the specific harm. The court ordered Meehan and Boyle to reimburse Parker Coulter for the time billed and expenses spent on those cases that were deemed unfairly taken.
Okay, paying back the work done.
Right, that based on a concept called quantum merit, basically means as much as deserved. Paying the fair value for the services the firm had already provided on those files.
All right, anything else?
Yes. The court also said Meehan and Boyle might have to account to Parker Coulter for any future profits they earn from those specific unfairly obtained cases, consistent with partnership law principles about profits derived from a breach of duty.
Wow, okay. So potentially giving up future earnings from those clients too.
Potentially, yes. But remember, this was balanced against the finding that Meehan and Boyle were still entitled to their contractual partnership payouts.
Right, so the damages they had to pay could be deducted from the money the firm owed them anyway?
Exactly. It could potentially zero out or reduce what they ultimately received, but their underlying contractual right to the payout wasn't extinguished by the breach itself.
That point about them still being entitled to compensation under the agreement, even after breaching their duty, that's really interesting. What does that tell us about how the court views maybe the difference between bad behavior during departure and vested financial rights?
I think it suggests the court recognized the economic reality of these agreements. You know, partners build up certain rights, capital accounts, withdrawal payments over time. These are often contractual entitlements. The court seemed to draw a line between penalizing the wrongful conduct, the unfair competition, the breach of loyalty in the departure process, and completely stripping away pre-existing vested contractual rights.
So it's not about total forfeiture, but about making the injured party whole for the specific wrongs committed during the exit.
That seems to be the thinking. Compensate Parker Coulter for the harm caused by the unfair tactics, but don't rewrite the fundamental economic terms of the partnership agreement regarding departure payouts unless the agreement itself specified that.
Okay, it really sounds like the court was trying to find a middle ground, acknowledging the departing partner's rights, but also enforcing their responsibilities pretty strictly.
I think that's a fair assessment. The big takeaway, the core message from Meehan v. Shaughnessy is really this. Yes, you absolutely have the right to plan your next career move. You can plan to compete. You can plan to leave and start your own firm. But you cannot do it secretly in a way that blindsides your partners and gives you an unfair advantage using the resources and position of your current firm. Transparency and fair dealing are key.
Right.
Secretly undermining the firm from within, misusing its resources, preventing your partners from having a fair shot at retaining clients you worked with at the firm. That's the stuff that crosses the line into a breach of fiduciary duty.
So for all the law students listening, let's boil it down. Pre-departure planning, logistical stuff, generally okay.
Generally, yes.
Secretly soliciting clients using firm letterhead while denying you're leaving, definitely not okay.
Definitely not breach territory.
And courts are going to look closely at how those client transitions happen using that four-factor test to see if the client's choice was genuinely informed and fair to the original firm.
That sums it up perfectly. It's an ethical tightrope, and you need to walk it carefully.
Okay, so quick recap then. The heart of Meehan v. Shaughnessy, that clash between the departing partner's ambition and their loyalty obligations to Parker Coulter.
Yep.
The key ruling, their secret preemptive moves to grab clients while still partners. That was a breach of fiduciary duty, full stop.
Correct.
And remember that really important four-factor test for checking the fairness of client solicitation. One, who brought the client in. Two, who managed the case. 3, how savvy was the client? And 4, how skilled were the departing lawyers?
And Meehan and Boyle, the court said, kind of failed on those first three because of how they acted.
Right. The remedies involved them paying Parker Coulter back for work done on those unfairly taken cases, quantum merit, and possibly accounting for future profits. But importantly, this was balanced against their right to their partnership agreement payouts.
A key balance.
So the big lesson for everyone tuning in, planning to compete is okay. Doing it secretly, unfairly, and at the expense of your current partners. Big mistake. Huge breach of trust. Breach of duty.
Couldn't say it better.
All right, before we wrap up, here's something to chew on. Consider this. We live in a legal world now with way more movement between firms, right? Lateral hires are common. Technology makes client communication and data transfer, well, instantaneous.
True. Very different landscape than 1989.
So how do you think the core principles from Meehan about loyalty, transparency, fair competition, how might they apply today with lateral moves? What about using technology in these transitions? Are the ethical goalposts shifting?
That's a really good question for people to think about.
Definitely something to mull over as you navigate your own legal careers. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.